Okay, so this is the third video now, or audio. I have been working with a student of mine who is creative. Now, what is creative? Creative is being able to do or say or write or produce something that is new. That's what creativity is, I think. Real creativity requires you to go off the beaten path, to penetrate the invisible, invisible for you. Everybody has different areas of life that are invisible, and some areas, or 90-somewhat percent of reality is invisible to everyone. And very few people can penetrate that. People who can penetrate that are known even after thousands of years, because they are trailblazers. Once they see it, everybody can see it. For instance, the Bannister person who ran the 4-minute mile for the first time, that was trailblazing. He created a new reality. He penetrated the invisible part of the universe where a human could fast that where a human could run that fast. And once he broke that record, hundreds of people could break that record. Which means once you reveal anything from the invisible, a lot of people can go there with you. Same thing happened to Einstein and some other people. Not many. It's rare. But you can always go off the beaten path to see something new. Now, how do you get off the beaten path? And why? Well, if you think what you have always thought, or you think what everybody else is think, then among 8 billion people, you are not going to be able to stand out. And relying just on talent or assiduity is not going to help you to win big and maybe even small in a world where 8 billion people compete for success. So if you look at your life and if you want to be honest with yourself, you are just one of 8 billion. You are nothing special. But why are you nothing special? Because you think what everybody else thinks. You go where everybody else goes, and you read what everybody else thinks, and you see what everybody else thinks. So how not to see that part of reality that everybody sees that would allow you to stand out? And if you really want to be honest with yourself, you want to be able to stand out. I know people, they want to say, I'm special, but you're not. You're ordinary. But the desire to be special is very strong in humans. The spirit really wants to do things that are special. In a way, special. Not extraordinary special. Not the one who invents who knows what. But special enough that it's fulfilling. So I am really looking at the question. So I'm going to attempt to look at it in a particular way. Now, what I am going to distinguish now is a principle. A principle If it's really, truly a principle, it is true and portable everywhere. Which means if it is true, then it will be true somewhere else. So I am going to take a business example. But if it is true, it's true in education, it's true in writing books, it's true in love, it's true in health, it's true in who knows where, okay? So my assessment, my starting point is that you are a pedestrian, walk on the sidewalk, or if you are very adventurous, you jaywalk. Jaywalking means across the road where there is no pedestrian crossing. And you clap for yourself, I am so adventurous, but you still do what everybody else does, and you are still moving the pedestrian path. So what is underneath that, I say, is narrow cone of vision, which means you can't even see anything outside that you haven't already seen. And worse than that, you don't even look. You pretty much don't look. So one of the exercises that I have given to a student of mine is to play and come up with ideas of changing what business he is in just by talking. I didn't say change what you do. I didn't say change your education. And when you look at him in any given day, he would be still doing the same thing. So the example I gave him is a brilliant example that I learned some 30 years ago. Some coaches in New York City started a business coaching business where their claim to fame was is that they change what business you are in. So they gave three examples, and I remember one of them. And the example is that there was this dude who was a art dealer. He would take orders to find a certain artwork. He would go buy it and then resell it to the orderer, the rich person. Or he would go to exhibitions and art shows and buy up some art and then try to sell it to someone who had money. Art is expensive, so he was selling expensive artwork. Now, the life of an art dealer is going from plenty to nothing. He would have a lot of money, and then he would have no money for a long time. So it's not for the faint at heart. You would need to have a very good ability to not touch the money that came in. So this particular dude wasn't very disciplined about that, and his life was really suffering. So he hired these coaches. And after being interviewed and interviewed and interviewed and looked at the business, they redefined his business. And what they saw is the biggest art buyers are corporations that decorate the walls of their offices and halls with art. So they are pretty much not interested in the individual pieces. They are interested in the final appearance of the corporation as rich, prosperous, blah, 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 right? So they renamed or reconstituted this guy's business as he became someone who was in the expensive wall covering business. Art goes on the wall. It's expensive. And suddenly, he wasn't selling pieces. He was selling 5, 10, 20, 200 square yards of art. And his income became reliable, and it went 100-fold. So, using that as an example, one could rename any business to make it the same business but more prosperous, or the same business but more enjoyable, or the same business that appeals to different clientele. And it's not easy. You cannot do it if you are walking the pedestrian path. It's like if you are on the street that has two sidewalks and I don't know what they call it, where the cars go. Road, I think they call it. The idea of jumping, or the idea of helicopter, or the idea of relocation by imagination or whatever is unavailable to you, or tunnels or whatever. I mean, I'm just making it up, and I am not very creative at 4:15 in the morning. If you are the pedestrian and you have a narrow cone of vision, and if you can only see what you have always seen, and the business is what it does and has always done, and what they called it in school and how they list it in the yellow pages, you actually are locked out of creativity, and you are locked in into being the same old and like everybody else. So what I did is I looked what's underneath the pedestrian path. What's underneath the uncreativity? What's underneath the boring, humdrum, unrewarding life? And I decided, and I have been testing it, and it seems to be a principle, and we are not sure yet, that the root of that is the narrow cone of vision. You cannot see widely, and you are not even willing, and you cannot see deeply because you are not even willing. You are not even trying. You are not open to what's beyond they already discovered, what's beyond what you can already see. One of the people who taught the same thing in a different area of life in advertising is Jay Abraham, who I used to have my mentor almost 30 years ago. And one of the things that he said is that when you want to advertise your stuff, your business, everybody in that business advertises the same way. They say the same, they have the same moves, they have the same benefits. So standing out is nearly impossible. So what he said is look at other industries and see what they do and transfer their methodology to your industry. So I was selling advertising. That was in the period when I was a magazine publisher, and I looked at the car selling industry, and I experimented with that. It was very hard, and I had some successes, but my cone of vision was also narrow. So this was hard. Now, I'm not saying this is easy. Not everybody will become brilliant or have brilliant results. But if you never try to get out of your little box where you know everything, you are never going to become that person whose spirit is going to get its due reward and there would be flying. So if you are in the bookkeeping and CPA business, for instance, and that's all you say, I am a CPA or I'm a bookkeeper, and that's the business that you are in, then you are going to be paid at the rate of a bookkeeper rate, and you are going to have the fun or no fun as a bookkeeper does. The other day, I recommended to the same student who is doing this exercise with me, is that he says, I am your chief financial officer without the paycheck. Now, what do I mean? The paycheck of a chief financial officer is sky high, in the millions for a business, big business, right? But at the same time, a CPA gets paid thousands, right? A few thousands, not many. They pretty much get paid by the hour. But if you are the chief financial officer without the paycheck, they are going to look at you different. And you are going to do the same thing, advise them, create financial report and all the things that the CFO does, chief financial officer, but your pay is going to be bigger, and they are going to ask different questions. You are not going to be like an employee, a schlock, a replaceable, interchangeable guy who they hired from the Yellow Pages. You are going to be the chief financial officer who has more to say and more to contribute to the company's success than most anybody except the chief whatever officer. Okay? All right. So that's what I wanted to talk about, because unless you practice getting off the beaten path somewhere, you are never going to develop the eyes. You're never going to develop the wide cone of vision. You're never going to be that special person that you wanted to be. In some other article, I am going to share the stages that I went through. In different businesses, I have done this what business you are in transformation and turned a humdrum business into exciting. I just don't want to do it now. Okay? All right, so this is it for now, and I don't know if these are publishable. I am going to publish them. If they are hated, then they are hated. Okay? All right. Thank you. Bye.